Yeah. Well, I should start by saying shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Yeah. See, and I speak that decree over you in faith. When I speak it, that's what I'm saying. You know, I like the response. And I hope the same to you, because when we speak that in faith, it is powerful. See, faith is a spiritual force that causes the blessings that God promised us in His Word to manifest in our natural world. Because remember, we are supernatural people. We're living in a natural world. What makes us supernatural? Because we're supernatural beings now. We're born again believers. We all know the importance, though, of checking up on our natural things in our life. Okay? See, because when we get to ready to go on a trip, first thing we do is we go out and we check the fuel level. Do we not? And there's an indicator that you go in, you look at, and it's on the instrument panel. It tells you how much you got. And nowadays, it says, this is how many you got to empty. And they come with a little alarm, tell you when you need gas. Yes. And then Teresa doesn't like when that alarm comes off. Got to get gas. No, we can go some more. Yeah. I drive for another 3 days, and when it gets down to the next level, it goes, beep, 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 beep. She says, when are you going to get gas? I said, we're okay. We ain't going nowhere. Now, if I plan on going to Florida, I'll take care of it. Hey, especially if you go to Gitco, and I got money off from going to John Eagle, I definitely want to make sure that I can get the max out of it. Because, one trick I learned from Tim. Tim showed me. I used to go over and I used to go click, 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 click. Tim goes, click, and he picks the hose up like this. So that dip that's in there, he wants that in his tank. He taught me that. You don't think I use that, bro? I'm telling you, I want every drop of that petrol, especially now. Hallelujah. All right. That gets us completely off track there. But we always check our fuel level, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, as believers, we need to do the same thing spiritually. As we go through life, we need to regularly check our faith level on our believing, on what we're saying, and on our actions. We need to make sure we're living in the spirit of faith so we can get to where God planned for us to go. See, God has marvelous plans for each and every one of us. See, it took a long time for me to know the plan He had for me in my life. And it's only because relatives of mine that we were sitting with one time, and it was after I got ordained and was taking over as pastor, they were sitting there, they said, you know, years ago, they says, we knew and it was told to us that you were going to be a preacher. I said, really? They says, yeah. They told me where it was back in the church, you know, the Nazarenes, and back way back in the day. Now, I don't know how they knew it, but they did. But I ran from God. Yeah. Oh, I did. I ran from God. I got turned off because you know what I did? I looked at people. I didn't look at, God. As a teenager, I started looking at people. And I thought, if this is what represents Christ, I don't need this. And then when I got in my 30s, for some reason, which when you get in the 30s, okay, God got my attention. And I just started knowing there was something I needed. Something I needed. And I found Jesus.
Yes.
Never the same. Saved to the bone.
Yes.
All that garbage that I carried in, I got saved all that garbage attached. And you know what? He got rid of everything. He got rid of the foul mouth. He cleared up my thoughts. He got rid of my alcohol. He got rid of my cigarettes. He got rid of my drugs. He got rid of it all. My wife, because I smoked so much, she would have said, you saved him, Lord, be ashamed. He dies of lung disease, and she kept praying for my lungs. You know? When I went, had my checkup, because you did that, and they knew I had spots and stuff. My lungs were perfectly clear. There ain't a spot on any of my lungs. Saved to the bone, never the same. Kinder, more gentler, Jack is what she said. And now they keep saying, kinder, more gentler, pastor. And I am. I know I've come a long way. And I prayed that for my elder. I prayed it for my deacons here. I prayed it for everyone, really. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." See, God wants to bless us. His ever-increasing blessings stretch so far out in front of us that we can't catch up with them. See, we can never catch up to where God is. But we got to keep on following and keep on heading there. And one day we will, when it's our time to go into heaven. That's where we'll catch up to God. Hallelujah, what a time it's going to be. And according to Ephesians 2:7, we'll be experiencing the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness for ages to come. Ages to come. His goodness is so vast, no matter how long we walk with him, we can never exhaust it. His mercy endures forever. Well, I like what the psalmist says in 32:19. It says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men." The words "laid up" in this verse are the Greek word apokime. Apokime. It's apokeimai, which also translates as laid away for, reserved for, stored up for, waiting for. That's exciting. "Which you have laid up for those who fear you." His great goodness. Yeah. See, that to me says that God is not just creating what we need as we need it. Although that would be great enough. Amen? Yeah. See, he's done more. He's already prepared and provided for each of us everything we need to fulfill his calling on our life and to be everything he has planned for us to be. It's already there. It's in the heavenly realm. And it's stored up and it's waiting for us. How do we get it from the heavenly realm into this earthly realm? By faith. Yes. By faith. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But now I just, because I agree with Kenneth Copeland. I love when this scripture is read. You read it in the Amplified Classic. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation. It is the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Smelling, taste, got it? Not revealed to the senses. Again, faith is the spiritual force that causes the blessings of God and the promises that are in his word to manifest in our natural world. So whatever we are hoping for, whether it's healing, finances, how about a new home, or a car, or whatever, faith turns that hope into a tangible substance, into something we can fill, spend, and drive. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Unwavering faith will get you the house that your heart desires. It'll get you that new car. There's a girl where I'm always at McDonald's up here, getting my coffee, talking to her, and there's a young lady, and I talked to her, and she says, you know, there's a couple things she wanted. What she wants to get another job to better herself. And she also said, you know, I need a car to keep going. Well, we had one part of it, because I prayed with her at the drive-thru. And she's driving, she says, look at my car. I was in there, look at my car, look what I got. I mean, it's a beauty. It's a, believe it or not, it is a 2010. And I got out to look at that car. And Mark on it. I said, where'd you find it? She said, somebody called me and said so-and-so had one that was parked in a garage that belonged to a family member who had passed away. And she says, so they offered, it was spotless. And she was so happy. I said, okay, we got one down. She says, that job, I said, don't talk anything other than positive over that job. I look forward to her getting a job now. You know? But it was by faith. And here, you know, we can do that with whoever we run into. Hallelujah. Faith in God's word is the way we receive everything from God. Some of this stuff was in part of that decree, if you noticed. These ladies are hooked up with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. See, it's the way we received the new birth when we became born again. And it's a way that we maintain our walk with Him. That's why it's important that we continually check up on ourselves in that area. Word level. See, unlike our cars, we don't have a physical instrument that we can look at. We don't have that fuel gauge. So we don't know when the tank's full or full or empty. But yes, we do. Because Jesus said this in Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. So according to both Jesus and Paul, our mouth is our spiritual fuel gauge. So you can listen to what you're saying and find out if you're walking in the spirit of faith. Just listen sometimes what's coming out. If you're dealing with symptoms of sickness, and you are consistently confessing that Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed, okay? 1 Peter 2:24. You know you have the faith necessary for healing to manifest in your physical body. If you consistently keep speaking His word. But if you're talking how sick you are, you don't. Mm-mm. Did you get that? If you face a pile of overdue bills, you're consistently saying, my God supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory, then you have the faith for finances you need. You keep saying it. You keep confessing it. But if you're talking about your inadequate bank balance, you don't. You don't think about that, do you? My God supplies all of my needs. On you're saying that, you got all them bills, you're praying on them, and then you come over and look at it. Oh, man, ain't nothing in a checkbook. How am I going to do that? Well, right away there. So you know they don't have the faith because they're not believing God. They're looking at this. Don't look at that. Does God supply our needs? He already ahead of time. He's got it laid out for you. You got to figure out how to get it down, and you get it down through faith. Sometimes you think you're walking in faith. You aren't. You can't speak faith one minute and doubt the next minute. It don't work that way. Yeah, and very Mark 11:23. It's the spiritual law of faith. It's the same as the law of gravity. Okay? They're the same type thing. Gravity's there. Do you know it? Do you feel it? But do you see it? But the spiritual law of faith is right here. For surely, now this is Jesus speaking, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It's a spiritual law. Say this. With the God kind of faith, I say to the mountain, I am facing this morning, be removed and be cast into the sea. I will not doubt in my heart. No. I will believe. I will believe. I will believe that those things I say will be done. I will have whatever I say. Wow. See, that's how you say that. That's how you use that verse. God wants you to use his word. You don't speak about the mountain, you speak to the mountain. You don't talk about lack and speak to the lack. You speak to the promise of God. My God supplies all of my needs. And watch it start coming in. Especially if you do like he says and you tithe. And he only asked for 10%. 10%. You look at what the government's taking. Your 10% will multiply more for you than what the government takes from you and puts in your Social Security and all that. I'm just telling you. God can return 100-fold. Yeah. You got to understand what that is, 100-fold. It comes out to a big number. But you know what you said? Yeah, well, but you know, I don't want to hold God. But you can't believe for it. Y'all can't believe for it. You got to start believing for it. When you say it, believe for it. You're praying over your tithe, you pray for a 100-fold return, and don't let anybody talk you out of that. You know, sometimes it'll happen. It'll happen instantaneously. Sometimes it may take a little bit of time. Because the devil's beating in your ear and your head's saying other things. Just don't speak it. Keep speaking the word. And watch what happens. You know, my story comes in. I'll never forget it. When I learned about tithing, I literally, and Therese told it to somebody the other day, I went in to work. They were giving no raises out through all of the corporation. There was no raises being given. And I got called into the office. Because the night before, I didn't know what to start with. I wrote, you know, when Therese told me, yeah, I put $10 in a bucket. I wrote a check for $100. I didn't know. I'll just write that and figure this tithing thing out, what I'm supposed to give. And my only question was, the pastor was, is it net or gross? He just looked at me and said, first fruits. And I'd been studying it because I wanted to know, right? Boom, the light went on. Okay. From that day on, I know. It's not what you net. It's your gross. You make it so hard you find. And think I'll preach it. I'm letting some of you know that you think you're tithing, but you're not tithing. Okay? I just know that, and I know that in my heart. You know, and you wonder why some of the things are happening to you. Some of the things, well, he can't rebuke the devourer for your sake. I mean, his word's pretty evident for us. You cannot afford not to tithe. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But see, in that verse there, what we see is consistency. And in consistency lies power. You continually speak the word. In other words, it's what we say continually that works in our life. Either for us or against us. When we're in church, it's easy to say the right things. Well, sometimes. We can make faith confessions on Sunday morning and shout and rejoice right along with everybody else. But when we go home, we talk with all kinds of doubt and unbelief. All those faith confessions we made in church won't come to pass. Because you scratched them off. You eliminated them with the words of your mouth. But why is that true? Because what we say continually is what we believe. If a couple is not in agreement for something, they're not in agreement for it. This one's believing for this, and this one's contradicting because they really can't believe in it. Well, they don't want to make that commitment. Guess what? They're never going to get this because they're not in agreement. You get in agreement, and wow, God can do mighty things. Because what you're believing for then will come to pass. And any setback during that time when you're in agreement, do not come out of agreement. Stay in agreement. It will come to pass. Am I right, Doc? Hallelujah. Now, I know it's hard to keep believing and saying the right things when we're looking at the contrary circumstances that face us. It's hard to keep saying you're healed when your body looks and feels sick. Or to keep saying you're prosperous when you're looking at a big fat zero in your checking account. Now, it's not just hard. If the negative consequences and circumstances are all you are seeing, it's downright impossible. It's quiet in here. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. To overcome the impossibility, we must see beyond those circumstances. We must look steadfastly at the things the Apostle Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians 4. He not only wrote that we, having the same spirit of faith as it is written, believe and therefore speak. He went on to say how we do it. And it's in verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How do we see things that are not seen? We look in the Word of God. We open our Bibles and read the Word, and we read it out loud. And then we take time, this is the Word of God, we take time to meditate on what it says about us and all God has provided for us. God's already provided for you. The sinner's laid up, his way is stored up there. You got to go after it in faith. Keep the faith and everything is yours. If we keep the Word before our eyes and in our ears and receive it into our spirit, that is where it will produce the faith we need. Because what? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then we release the faith with words of our mouths. The Word of God is His creative power. It always produces for us when we receive it and speak it. Sadly, Christians is Christians. And many don't receive everything in God's Word. They receive what it says about the new birth, but when they hear scriptures preached about healing and prosperity, they murmur. Yeah, that's not true. I know people who served God all their life and they never prospered. Or they'll say, I know people who prayed for healing and did get healed. Those who take that type of attitude are actually taking other people's words over the Word of God. In fact, they don't realize, but they are siding with the devil. See, he's the one who's always trying to talk us out of believing what God has already said. And it's written down for us. The devil started doing it with Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he's never stopped. Never. He's persistent and consistent. See, he knows in consistency lies the power. In Mark 4, the parable of the sower explained, Jesus describes people who succumb to the devil's word-stealing tactics as stony ground people. They don't receive the word they have heard, and Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 15, that was. Satan is all about control. He wants to be somebody. But he's nobody. He's been brought to naught. Flo brought that up on prayer on Thursday. So he comes to steal the word out of people's hearts so he can have control of their lives. Got to guard your heart with all diligence. When he tries to do that, just tell him no. And you can say this, say, get on out of here. Go ahead and say it, say, get on out of here. Get on up and leave. You're nothing but a liar. I don't want to hear from you. I won't take your word for anything. I take the Word of God only. Ain't no devil. Gonna tread on me. Run, devil, run. Run. You're facing me today. Because you know who you are in Christ when you say that. When he sees the Christ in you awakening, like you say, he's running. He's, oh man, they got up on the right side of the bed today. We should get on the right side of the bed up every day. And I still got that right on my nightstand, Shirley, what you gave me years and years and years ago. Yeah. I look at that, I got from her, and it just, and I just brightens my day. Right there. Just nice. Morning, Jack. Love you. Jesus. That's right there. So simple, but it's right there. So you got to look at the clock, and right there, and it's right there. I used to wake up with an empty half a beer can and a full of cigarettes. It's so nice to see that. So nice to go. And man, I tell you what, I can get on my car outside and I can smell them up there standing outside of Walmart. Man, don't they know how bad it is for health? Don't they know how much is robbing them of their finances? It ain't cheap to smoke nowadays. Whew. Lordy, lordy, lordy. You got a couple good reasons to quit. Your health and your finances. Don't ever let the devil scare or confuse you. Be bold as a lion when dealing with him. Combat his lies with the word and keep believing and saying what God says, regardless of what you see around you. Amen. Resist the devil and he will flee. You will put him on the run. It said he will flee. You'll put him on the run. James 4:7, by the way, just you know, it's the word, and you can put him on a run. Right. Resist him. You don't have to put up with I didn't want to say that word. You know, you don't have to put up with his bull anymore. You know? You don't have to. Quit entertaining him in the thoughts of your head. Resist those thoughts. Don't start talking and murmuring about them because you're hearing them. Nope. If we keep our hearts full of his word, we will be able to keep our mouths as well. Rather than focusing on the seen realm, we'll be able to look into the unseen realm and declare it by faith. Real loudly, we can say, this is what God says, and so it shall be. Mm-hmm. And we can say that. See, this is surely the cure for anything that's wrong in our lives. It will release the power of God to go to work in our circumstances and change them. It's not a might. It will take place. If you have the faith. Because you do have the faith. You have the measure of faith. It's in you. Problem is, you got to stir it up. See, it's like embers from a fire sitting there. They're still glowing. They're still hot. Well, you need the word to blow upon them. And as you blow on the embers, it starts to build and the fire gets more and more and more. And that measure of faith inside you becomes an inferno, see? And it's because you fed it with the wind from the word. Hallelujah. It's like a whirlwind going in there. Man, I've seen it. You see how it can take a little spark and take and consume a whole forest. That's why you got to get worded up. You got to get to that point. So that you can look at things with the eyes of faith. What's more, it will release also the power of God to work to change us. See, if you take, for instance, in the natural, that we have an inferiority complex. When we begin to see ourselves as God says we are, we begin to change the way we think. His word takes root in us and we stop seeing ourselves as inferior. Inferior complex will be gone. Just an example. In fact, we will stop seeing ourselves at all. Instead, we will see God. So he's the one who is great and wonderful. And he says, we've been born again in his image. In his image. He's the one who meets our needs and heals our physical bodies. God is the one who makes up the difference for our weaknesses and brings us to the place he planned for us to be. When we start seeing ourselves in him according to his word and his promises, we become like Abraham. We become like Abraham. God told him that when he was nearly 100 years old, that his 90-year-old barren wife, never had kids, was going to bear him a son. And at the very same time, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. So from then on, Abraham called himself exactly that. He believed God, as in Romans 14 says, he called those things that be not as though they were. When people asked him how he was, you know what he would say? Oh, I'm fine. I'm the father of many nations. People most likely made fun of him just for that. They probably laughed behind his back and said, he's an old man. His wife is an old woman. And they have never had any children. Now he's changing his name. Father of many nations? Yeah, right. Abraham, however, wasn't moved by the markers. He just kept believing what God said and putting in his mouth. Putting it in his mouth. When he would say his own name, he was calling himself the father of many nations. Well, when less than a year later, his wife had a son. They named him Isaac. Hallelujah. God works the same way with us. He gives us his word so that we can believe. We can believe it and we can speak it. And as we do, our faith gives substance to it. The blessings God has stored up for us in the heavenly realm are transferred to the earthly realm where we can walk in them and enjoy them. He wants us to do that now. All that's laid up in heaven, we can bring it down now. We bring it down through faith. As soon as you start saying, well, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, then, guess what? And it sounds like you can't. You can't believe for that. I'm just trying to encourage you. You can. Amen. It's within you. Amen. It's within you. You know what the problem is? This gets in the way. This needs to come out from here. It's in your spirit, man. That's where it takes place. And when it gets really rocked in there, all the things are going to happen for you. You know, we are a work in progress. We all are. We live in the natural. We got to deal with things in the natural. Okay, but we'll start to look at them differently now, and we look at them through the eye of faith. Believe in for a better job? You can trust God to get you a better job. But why are you looking for the better job? Is this not a good job? Why? Evaluate what's the problem there on that job. Is the job or is it you?
That's good stuff, right?
And then you can actually grow within that area. Mm-hmm. When God got a hold of me after I got saved, I got promotion after promotion after promotion. I got to the level equal to a superintendent. And they had these skills and they lettered you. And I went and had to give a talk about something we had accomplished and how we did it up in Cleveland. In front of a whole bunch of people that I was at. Okay. Now I had to get over that inferiority complex like that. I got to speak to these people. And you're sitting there and you're holding them little spotters and you go, and you're trying, because they got it up on the screen, you're trying to keep your hand from shaking when you're talking to them. But I got done, and the head of our whole division, J.J. Murray, comes up to me. And he says, Robbie. Because that's what they call me. I said, yeah. He said, I got to ask you something. And he's got this paper from him. And I said, he says, you don't have a degree. And I looked at him. And I had all these trades, everything that I went through there. I went through leadership training, that kind of stuff. But he says, you should not be at the level you're at. He says, I don't know how you got there. And because I was new in the faith, I said, it was Jesus. Jesus put me up there, sir. He just looked at me and says, good answer. Good answer. That's all he said, man. Good answer. But yeah, I mean, that was my career. God promoted me. God can promote you on the job. What job you're at. If you're not happy there, for other reasons, but evaluate it first. Because see, God sometimes knows what you need and knows where you're at. You need to be stay. You need to stay planted at that time. Yeah. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. When we start operating like Abraham did, people who are worldly in their thinking, they may react to us a lot like people back in Abraham's day. See, when people hear us calling things that be not as though they were, they might even think you crazy. I've been told that by other believers. I thought that's what I'm teaming up with the believer for. So now I watch who I say that to. You know, I try to tell them, well, you need to call this thing to be honest as they were. Well, yeah, that's what works. It does. Yeah, it's proven in the Bible. We're of the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Whoo! We've been adopted in. Hallelujah. But see, when they call us crazy, Shirley, that's actually a compliment.
Yes, it is.
That's a compliment.
You can't insult them.
If people who operate like the world considered us to be normal, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
The world follows after the dark and the devil. People in the world live looking at and talking from the seen realm. We, as believers, are very different. We follow after God and we walk in the light. We know something people of the world don't know because we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We can look into this Word And we can see the unseen and talk it. Yes. And when we talk it, we'll be able to take it from that unseen realm and to bring it into the real world right before our eyes. And you'll say, that's what I've been believing for. That's what I've been speaking for. But you got to keep the faith. Satan wants to come and steal the word. So you got to get worded up, because he's trying, every time you leave one little opening that he can snatch apart that word, don't think that he's not snatching a piece of that word from you. That's why it takes daily intake of the word. Daily intake of the word. So we can receive that word into our hearts. What God has said, we can believe it, and we can put it into our mouth, see? And it will come to pass in our lives. I know, of course, God's promises won't always come to pass overnight. It takes time. It takes time. What you are believing for will be worth the wait. His blessings always are. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Be patient and keep checking your spiritual fuel level. Stay full of God's word and the spirit of faith, and receive all the good things God has laid up for you and for what you're believing for. What is the one thing that you are believing for? Above all, what is the one thing you're believing for in your life? Take that one thing and stand on it and stand on it and stand on it. Stand for it. Believe you received. Believe you received. And when you look at it, and it may look different, you keep saying, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I see the healing. I see the progression. I see her with me up on the stage singing together. We'll sing the prayer together. Don't you go off of that. Don't you go off of that. Lord, I see that new house. I see it right up there. I see it right where I want it. I want it up there, Lord God. I want it in such and such town. I want it so many miles from this point, so many miles from that point. And I thank you for that. And I see that. I know that you're giving me that house. And I thank you that me and my family are in agreement that we will get that house. Lord God, I know that you'll supply us the necessary finances to be able to afford to pay for that house. Lord God, we will have the down payment. We will get backing from the banks. And we will be able to work, and we will have good jobs. And our finances will be enough to cover that and to cover every utility and everything we need, Lord God, to sustain our lives up in this new house that we see in faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. By faith, I see my daddy living to 120. I see my daddy living to 100. You that have parents that are old, that's what you can say. I see my daddy. I see my mother living to be 120, because that's what you promised, Lord God. You promised it in your word, and you promised healing. So I say by Jesus' stripes, they were healed. They were made whole. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally whole. They will have a long life and a life worth living. I will stand on your word. I know what the doctors have said. I'm not going to say that they don't know what they're talking about, but I know what my God says. I know that my God can heal. I know that my God can turn things around. He can make a divine reversal. Divine reversal. Hallelujah. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Be upon each and every one here today, Lord God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, they leave, Lord God, with more power than they've ever had. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that the measure of faith that is in them has been flamed, Lord God, and fanned, and it's getting hotter and brighter, Lord God. And they're not going to lose it. They're not going to go out the door and let any of this white stuff melt and drip and put their fire out. No, that fire is burning. It's going to stay burning. They're going to stay diligent. They're going to be in the Word every day. They're going to be praying. They're going to be believing. They're not going to be moved by what they see, what they hear, what they smell. Lord God, no, Heavenly Father. They're going to be moved by what your Word says. And every time they have anything they need to look up and find an answer for, it is in the Bible. I thank Heavenly Father that Joe sees that, Lord God, because he has been delivered from all lung diseases. His lungs are healed because it's in consumption is in verse 22, in chapter 28, verse 22, which says that he would be afflicted, those would be afflicted with consumption. Consumption is wasting of the lungs. It is disease of lung. And your word says in Galatians chapter 3, it says 13, that Joe has been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because Jesus redeemed him from the curse, being made a curse for him. Because the word says that those who are hung on a tree are cursed. And he took the curse away. Joe is healed, see. Joe stands on it and says, I'm healed. I've been redeemed from that curse. I've been redeemed from anything that's been trying to afflict my lungs. My lungs are healed. My lungs are as new as a baby's. Hallelujah. They expand, contract. Every lobe is clear. No congestion whatsoever. And he continually stands on that. Ah, Lord God. He's not moved by what he hears or what he sees. He's been moved and be by what he believes. Hallelujah. And that's what I pray for each and every one here. Lord God, they believe in your word. They believe what's inside of them, Lord God. I thank Heavenly Father that all doubt is erased and gone from them now, Lord God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. Lord God, I thank you that your spirit is here and rests upon each and every one, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the spirit fill them, Lord God. Let them feel the power that they have. The dunamis power of God dwells within each and every one here this day, Lord. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, I ask as we go back for this fellowship, Lord God, I ask that you bless it, Lord God. You bless the food and sanctify it, Lord God, and the coffee tastes great. In Jesus' name, amen.